And we start off the show on a new weekend here at LaSalle. Finally, just when it looked like we were slowing down, well, guess what? We're right back in the mix of things because, Curtis, it is trials weekend once again here at Los Alamitos.
That's right. I mean, we just finished the Champion of Champions, yes. And here we go. Right back at it for the Winter Championship, and we get the first berth to next year's Champion of Champions.
Before we do, we have a lot to talk about this show.
Yes.
A lot to talk about, both horse racing and both outside world related. But look, I'm telling you, I don't know what April did to you in this new year, but the new you, the new Curtis for 2019, another lock of the night. Hey, I hit it too, but look, we did a sweep once again this week.
That's right. We talked about how we were pretty spot on with our picks. We kind of like the same horses there, but I got three in a row now. We're going to try and make it a month straight of locks. What was the streak you were up to? Five or six at one point?
I think I got five at one point. And that's consecutive nights on the quarters.
Yes.
I think five was the biggest one I've got. But now what, three in a row for you?
Three in a row. Woo! You set the bar very high. Yes. I'm just going to try and reach and hopefully raise it just another notch here.
This is going to be fun. So it's been a fun, I told you once we get in this role, it tends to work out well.
Yeah, every time we're agreeing, mm-hmm. every time we see eye to eye on picks, you know, sometimes you say, oh, well, there might be too much weight on horses.
Yes.
You know, you kind of get scared of me, you, Burghardt, some of the other handicappers we like. You get on, everybody gets on the same horse. It can get a little scary, but so far we're rolling good.
Just for that, just because it's three in a row, I had to drop that little one just to get you in the mood. Get you in a good mood.
The excellence of execution coming through once again.
You can execute once again this week and make it four in a row. So before we dive into Saturday's card at LaSalle, which features three Derby trials, we'll also talk about the two trials on Sunday for the Winter Championship trials. But before we do all that, why don't we recap last night's awards ceremony for the AQHA Racing Champions of 2018. It was conducted in Oklahoma, mm-hmm. at the Heritage Place Cell grounds there, hosted by the one and only Dale Day, the voice of Remington Park, and Janet Van Bever, our good friend.
Yep. I didn't watch. Was Katulak there?
No, he wasn't.
Usually he's but he's gone on to Nebraska.
Yeah, he's a,
so he's no longer
he's
a local right
he's
there.
A big timer over there.
That's right.
Is he vice president or something over there?
He's
or
got GM? Some big title. I mean, he had to leave a pretty cush job there at Remington. Mm-hmm. I mean, he was out there doing a lot of good things in the marketing department, and he got to go back home with a fat new title and everything. Yeah, so I think he's sitting pretty well.
CK there, hope you're enjoying your time up there in the brisk cold of Nebraska. I seen some tweets that were like, they were covered in snow already.
Yeah, we had enough rain as glad the sun finally came out down here. So
yeah, so sun is finally out. It doesn't look like we have any more rain in the forecast. But as far as last night's awards, a lot of horses that were either based or went through LaSalle, yep. dominated the night at the AQHA Champions Award. What are some of the awards that kind of jumped off the page for you?
Well, we had Tarzanito.
Yes.
He won Champion Age Stallion, won Sweet Racy, who came here to the barn of Chris O'Dell. Got Champion Aged Mare, another one for Chris O'Dell. Got a three-year-old Champion Filly, Apolitical Lady.
Yes.
KVN Corona, mm-hmm. The big Paul Jones runner for one of our podcast listeners.
Yes.
Old Kevin Nielsen. Yeah. He repeated as the champion. So he was a three-year-old champion.
I screenshot a Keith and Paul there on stage and tweeted it out. Shout out to Keith there for the award for KVN Corona. Who else got that?
And then finally we had Flash and Roll, the big filly who came in at the end of the year. Ended up being two-year-old champion and two-year-old filly.
Let's look forward to my main question to you now. Hot Stepper, he looked good there, Ridoso. He took champion three-year-old gelding.
Yep.
You talked about Tosanito, one through Racy H Mare, Bodacious Eagle there. And let's kick it off there. Bodacious Eagle. Once he started racking up those awards, then it was like, oh, there's a little bit of momentum here.
Yep.
And now we came to the point of the night where it was world champion honors. And I was just listening. I was watching online.
Uh-huh.
And they said, what did you see? I was like, what?
Yes, I was completely shocked. Look, I'm going to start off by saying there's no bigger fan of Bodacious Eagle than me.
Yeah.
I've been a fan of him ever since he was a two-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
I've watched him all the way around, but he won some pretty big races, won the Gold Cup. He won the Champion of Champions.
Yes.
But I'm sorry, he did not deserve to win World Champion over Jesse's first day.
I'll say this. He did. Look, kudos to the connections. They brought him here to Los Al. He defeated one of the best fields ever assembled in the Grade 1 Champion of Champions.
True.
If you just focus on that, that's a worthy enough distinction. But we can't ignore the fact that Jesse's first down beat him.
Yeah.
And Jesse Frizzan won 4-for-4 in 2018.
Yep.
Four Grade Ones. But we can debate online. Oh, look who he's trained by. Look at some of the sanctions that follow the connections. Yes, we can do that. And for me, I was lucky enough to be one of the voters this year in the EQHA National Poll every week. And I personally restrain myself from voting on Jesse Frizzan, and that's because of my belief of what has surrounded the connections that have been training that barn.
True.
But if at the same time you're allowing these horses to run under your rules and they're beating you up, then what else can you do?
That's my whole thing. Look, we know who Jesse's first down was trained by. He was trained by Judd Curl,
yep,
who got a very big penalty,
mm-hmm,
and pretty much ruled off from racing.
Yep.
His assistant, James Padgett, took over. And he was racing with it. Well, Jesse's first down has won it the past 2 years. Nothing has changed.
No.
So he's still with the same connections. He came out. He did exactly what he's supposed to do. He went 4-for-4. He beat Holdair Hostage when Holdair Hostage was at the top of his game. But in that same race was Bodacious Eagle.
Yep.
And he beat Bodacious Eagle by 2 lengths.
Yep.
So that's my point. I get it. I totally get probably some of the reasons why he got the snub and Bodacious Eagle went over. But at the same time, I didn't see that Padgett got any bad tests or anything like that. And so if you're going to allow him to win the world champion the two previous years, and then he comes out and he does everything he's supposed to again, I think he should have won it a third year in a row.
I think this opens up the can of more of like, all right, where is the sport heading towards as far as universal rules between the breed itself, not just from track to track?
Yeah.
This was kind of one of those things like, hey, look, I'm not the biggest supporter because I know who he was trained by.
Exactly.
Okay.
We're not going to sit here and pretend we don't know of the other circumstances surrounding.
Do I think
this
he's
horse.
The greatest quarter horse? No, because we know what's going. Hey, is he a pretty good quarter horse? Yes, he is.
Yes.
But at the same time, if you're allowing if you're allowing horses like these that are pretty much hand down from a trainer that got pretty much almost banned from the sport, basically.
Yep.
But you just hand it over to assistant and you're still allowing them to win like this,
mm-hmm,
then what is there to complain about, right?
Exactly. I mean, it's not like we don't know who James Padgett learned from.
Exactly.
But at the same time, as far as I know, he raced clean throughout the year. I mean,
yeah, we're not judging James Padgett.
No.
We're just judging that. Okay, these are you can run at this track. They're entering. They're letting this horse enter. All right, you're running by these rules. You can beat these rules, and you win them. Then hats off to you.
Exactly.
You beat us.
I can't go by something we don't know whether anything else was going on.
No.
So, as far as all we can look at is what he did. 4 Grade Ones.
Yep.
He beat the horse that was named world champion by 2 lengths, the only race they matched up in this year. So I just think it was a snub for him. Like I said, I love Bodacious Eagle. He's in my top 10 of horses of all time that I've seen. But still, Jesse's first down should have got it.
It's just one of those tough dilemmas.
Yes.
That I think the sport is trending as far as unity and universal rules. It's trending in the right direction. But, you know, overall, awards are nice, but at the end of the day, these are, you know, geldings.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean anything towards a breeding shed.
Yeah.
So at the end of the day, the connections are like, you can do everything you want. As long as I'm keeping my checks from those races, I'm good.
And it's not like Bodacious Eagle was just, given the award either.
No.
I mean, he traveled. Yes. One thing we've always said about him, he goes around and he faces the best of the best. And he came out here and he proved that he could be at the top of his game. And I think a lot of people discounted him when he came out to Los Al.
I first remember that one race. I remember I hit a pick six one night that he raced, and I didn't have him. And both you and George were like, are you sure you're not going to use him? And I was like, nah. But I got lucky enough because I was debating between using He Looks Hot or British Eagle. And that's the night He Looks Hot won.
Yes.
But other than that, even in the podcast leading up to the championship or the champions, I told you, I was like, I think he's getting better.
You did say that.
Remember?
Yeah, which is shocking because we always say horses that come out too low south, they're usually going to regress a little.
Yep.
And you called it. He handled business. He broke out there like a shot.
And tip of the hat, you know, he did. I'm pretty sure he acquired a lot of those votes for world champion honors because of the quality of the field he beat. And we can't debate that. That was, you know, especially when you think about the quality of the field, how tight of a finish it was at the wire.
Mm-hmm.
That tells you how good of a field that was. And also because they came out here and they said, we're going to race by the Los Al rules.
Yep.
You know.
Totally.
Test us. We're ready to go and let's race. So
I think that could be the knock on Jesse's first down.
Without a doubt, that is my knock.
That he didn't race against the best in every single race there was. Like, yes, he did beat Holdair and he beat Bodacious Eagle in the Remington Park Invitational there. But the other races, I mean, it was like Major Bites and Just Being a Hero.
Yeah.
Maybe is the other one, if that's his name correctly. But I mean, he still crushed those and. There wasn't as good of finishes as we saw at the Los Al races.
No. And like we said, this is not to criticize Padgett or his team or whatever.
Yeah.
It's just more about, hey, these are the rules that you can race at this track.
Yep.
Hey, if I'm going to go there, if I can race and I can beat whoever it shows up in the grade one, then I'm going to do it all day long.
One thing I would have liked to have seen, like when you guys vote in your monthly poll, how you say, okay, if there's any... horses that are running under the suspect trainers, that have had some bad tests or something, that you guys are just eliminated from the poll.
We do have a set list.
So that's.
But he wasn't included for some reason.
Yeah, well, I think it's because so far Padgett hadn't gotten any. But I'll bring up Ponce. Ponce was a guy where a lot of his horses, I'm sure, were they're left off. I would have liked to have seen if there's some stuff surrounding Jesse's first down like that. He should have just been left off of the list. And then there wouldn't have been anything to question.
Yeah, it's just a lot of mumble jumble.
Yes.
It is. And by the way, a disclaimer, I wasn't part of the final committee to vote for these champion honors. I was just involved in the month-to-month throughout year pool. I was not involved in as far as the champion ceremony voting goes. But nonetheless... Who cares? The horses.
We had to talk about it. We're going to talk about it. We got to talk about
it. The horses have decided on the racetrack, and Bodacious Eagle ended up getting the majority of those votes there for champion honors. Flash and Roll had a tremendous campaign too.
Yeah.
She was dominating. She took off honors, but it was just one of those things where like. The barn of Joyner was rolling so good that he to ship out here and do good over here at Los Al over these horses, I think it just speaks volumes to the barn doing well.
Yeah, they were them and Blaine Wood. They were the story this year. Joyner's and Blaine Wood. Their horses ran lights out. I mean, Joyner came over and they ran good. Blaine Wood won what? Three grade ones, three or four. I think he won three of the Ruidoso races, I think, or two of them, and then he won another one with Flying Cowboy, and I mean, that was kind of their year, and I mean, to bring those horses out there, Flash and Roll just looked phenomenal. Mm-hmm. Bodacious Eagle looked phenomenal. And then they won with Firewall and then Juvenile that night. So the weekend belonged to them.
Yeah, so congrats to Johnny Trotter earning champion owner honors. But how about this? One that, you know, Blaine Wood, their champion trainer. But yeah. one that really impressed me was champion breeder Grants Farms LLC. They had three finalists in the Grade 1 All-American Purity.
Did they?
Three.
Yeah, that's...
So as a breeder, you got three finalists.
Yeah, those breeders' awards, they can be pretty lucrative in those big races.
Wow. That was one of the things that stood out to me when they mentioned that, you know, they showed that replay of the All-American Purity and Grants Farms LLC.
Yeah.
They qualified three into the big one.
Yeah, it says here that their earners earned $1.6 million for the year. They're based out of Louisiana, so yeah, congratulations to them.
So that's a little bit about the wrap-up of the AQHA champion ceremony for 2018. You know, there's definitely a lot of fun seeing a lot of the connections locally from LaSalle over there accepting honors. You know, and shout out to the international winners as well. We've seen from Canada, from Mexico, and from Brazil getting the job done.
Well, what did you think about Cody getting champion jockey?
That's one that, honestly,
I think that was my other snide on the night.
Who did you think was going
to
get it?
I thought GR was a lock to get it. Because, like, I looked up the stats. GR had almost 60 wins. He had 59, and Cody had 20. GR had $2.9 million in earnings, and Cody had $2.5 million. And I guess they gave it to Cody because he had 5 grade one.
Yes.
But GR had 2 grade ones and 2 grade twos.
Yeah.
So he won triple the amount of races. He had more earnings. And I figured because it was his last year riding, he would be a lock to win champion jockey.
Especially after Flash and Roll, right?
Yes. I mean, he ended on such a high note. I thought for sure that GR would win.
Now, my question to you is, do you think not getting champion honors is going to make GR retire and come back in 2019?
You know, the only thing I think would bring GR back was he had such a phenomenal year. Why would he even quit? I mean, his semi-retirement.
Even Dale Day said the unretired GR Carter.
I mean, just the numbers I just said. I mean, he's almost 60 wins and $3 million in purses. I mean, I figured he could just be half retired, be like a Mike Smith, just ride the best ones.
Listen to my theory, okay?
Go ahead.
Listen to my theory. What if GR Carter had just been saying, I'm going to retire?
Yeah.
So that now all these connections and breeders know, it's like, last year of GR Carter, let's try to win the big one with him before he retires. So he's just doing this so that every year there's a little bit of urgency from breeders looking for him.
You think he's trying to get, like, the sympathy mount that he's only going to get the best of the best because they want to go out with GR on top?
Hey, they just came to me right now.
It's a good thing. You belong here at LoSalle with the rest of us in our conspiracy theories. You landed in the right spot.
Hey, but nonetheless, shout out to GR Carter for another sensational year in 2018. And that flip, he landed it.
Yep.
He landed it.
That was the best part, I think. I don't know. The last few flips I've seen, I don't think he's landed it. And at one point, he just wasn't doing it at all anymore. But his last go around here, yeah, we got to see him win a couple grade ones. And the first one with Flash and Roll, he didn't stick. But this one took a little back step, but it was good to see him land it.
Yes. A little bit of a breaking news. Breaking news coming through the set right now. Just handed out a press release from Professor G, from the marketing department. Los Alamitos will be renovating the racetrack. I like to do every year, and it's, you know, since we're closed on Super Bowl Sunday each year, they decided to do it that weekend. So we're not going to race on Saturday and Sunday of Super Bowl weekend. We will race that Friday, but we'll take Saturday and Sunday off for track renovations.
Yeah, what is it, February 2nd and the 3rd, I believe?
Yeah, I want to say 2nd and 3rd.
I'm glad they're not taking off Friday, because that 1 week we were off, God, I was so bored out of my mind. I couldn't wait to get back to LoSalle. So at least we're racing on Friday, we can get one night here.
So you know what I just thought of? We might need to do a remote podcast, record on Thursday for that Friday.
I mean, we did one all the way from Colorado. I'm sure we can go LoSalle to San Bernardino.
And since then, our technology has improved.
Yes, yes.
So I think this time we'll do a much better job of doing maybe a remote podcast. So let's dive into Saturday's card here. We're getting close to post time on Friday night, so we got to get this card out of the way. All right, race number one, 4.5 thoroughbred conditional claimers here. Am I seeing the purse right? $14,000.
That's right.
Look at this, $14,000, Curtis. We got 4.5 furlongs, field of 7. Very competitive field as far as the morning line goes. Who'd you pick on top?
I'm going back to a horse that I picked last time in Belligerent here. It's going to be second time for Kelly Castaneda. Payeras is back aboard. You know, he's been riding hot as ever. But I like that this horse is going to have versatility needed. I think, you know, last time was down by 2.5 lengths, was sitting third and rallied nicely, you know, splitting foes and won under the stick. But this time I think the other ones in here aren't as quick as they need to be, and Belligerent can be more forwardly placed. And so if Kelly Castaneda can improve this horse just a little bit further here, can I think upset a little bit here in the first race.
And I was pretty impressed with that win last time out because Saddle Club was a sharp runner. And the way the Belligerent just pretty much went on by down the stretch, I was really impressed with that. I got Belligerent as my third choice on my numbers. On top, I'm going to go to the 3. Part of my heart here for Justin Clark. This horse broke good last time out. Chased the speed. Hugged the rail. And finished with a good energy there to get up for second. I thought it was a good effort there. They went pretty fast, 51-2. I think he's going to be sitting well now getting off the rail. Give me the 3 on top, and I'll go to the 4, Gypsy Rule, for second. Reese Aldano here for Johnny Tabuada. They claimed this one 3 starts back for 3,200. Ran her over the daytime, finished second, then took her up to Golden Gate and finished 4th. I like the second she did, 3 starts back here locally, and I like the win, 5 starts back there in 51-2. It's just too good to ignore. So give me 3, 4, and 5 here in race 1.
Yeah, I liked the 4 Gypsy Rule in second there. I'm keying in on the same thing. You go back to when Reed Saldana had this horse before, 2,500, won by 5 lengths, so won pretty nicely. And then for third, I'm going to go to the 6, Gracie Bell. I'm going to follow Vinny from the 3 to the 6 here, kind of go with that angle. It's taken a huge class drop from the daytime, all the way from the allowance, 50,000 is there. Drops all the way down to 5,000. Looks to have plenty of speed, but you know, has been tiring in most of the starts except that one, 2 starts back. So I'm going to put it in for third because I just think the stamina is a question mark for this horse.
Welcome back, Vinny. Vinny went in a little bit of a spill, want to say 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
He took one full week off, and he's back here on the rank. So recap, I'll go 3, 4, 5.
5, 4, 6.
Race number 2, the second half of the early double. We got 870 yards here. Purse of $10,000, another very good purse. Field of 6 here, set to post. Slight more line choice is going to be the 1 Haynes Powell from the inside. Lots of speed here from the rail. Are you with or against Haynes Powell?
I'm going with Haynes Powell. Okay. You know what I was thinking about when I was picking this horse? Jose Flores has turned into quite the turn trainer, hasn't
he? This is like a Hot Bob 2.0, right?
That's exactly what I was thinking.
Exactly, a Hot Bob 2.0.
Yeah, I mean, ever since I went against Hot Bob the first couple starts and he proved me wrong, Flores has just been on fire with turn horses. So I went right back along the rail. I think he's going to be pretty sharp there from the inside. Should be the controlling speed, say if the 4 or the 5 go with him. You know, if there's some moisture in the track, I think it'll help even more because I know Paracel likes to get out on the turn. So as long as Haynes Powell can get out there on the front end and hold the rail, should be tough.
Look, and going back to this horse's race back in August, I remember that night and I said, this horse could be a nice claim. Mm-hmm. Because leading up to that point, you had not seen a lot of big gaps as far as the form. Lightly raced, only 3 starts, and had a shown speed in all 3 starts.
Yep.
And dropped in class and crushed by 7. Since then, he's turned into Hot Bob 2.0 for Jose Flores.
You should have got a hold of me early, and we could have went down to the paymaster and started a joint account. We could have claimed it that night.
We could have then, me, you, and George should start a little claiming business here. We got to think of a stable name first. But you're going to go to the 1. I'll go to the 5 here. P.S. betting on you for Jesus Mendoza. I thought this horse should have won last time out. Broke good, made about a 4 wide move around the turn and just missed by a nose. Considering all the ground this horse lost, that was a tough beat there by a nose. I like the final clocking, and I think this horse is going to be a little bit more forwardly placed tonight by Edgar Payer. So give me the 5. Of course, the 1 is the main threat there for second. and then the four parasol to complete the trifecta. So not very creative. I just think it's got to be between those three here in race two.
You know, I wasn't very creative until I went to the six, Creative Spark,
yeah,
in the third spot. I'm not going to put the four in there, even though I think Parasol should be tough, but just been lugging out around a turn and drifting out. Might be its own worst enemy, and I think P.S. Betting on You could beat him this time. But, yeah, I'm going to go to the six, Creative Spark, for third. I think we'll get plenty of pace to chase here. You know, should be stalking. And three outs ago, surged late there for 5,000, went 52-1. It was a non-winner's at two, but I think should get the trip and have plenty of pace to chase.
Should be a pretty good price there at 10-1. So a recap, I'll go with 5-1-4.
1-5-6.
Race number three, the start of the pick six here, not here tonight. And we're going down the straightaway. 300 yards, maiden claimers for a tag of $20,000. Compact field of six, but it's a very tricky field of six here, yes, set to go. So who'd you pick here?
Yeah, I'm going to preface this by saying I'm not in love with any of these horses here in the third race. You got the 1-3 and the 6 coming out of that same Blaine race,
yep,
where Blaine lugged in and bumped first to separate there past the 16th pole and got disqualified. Usually I like to play horses like that break their maiden, they get disqualified, and they go right back into, yep, the maiden ranks. But I'm going to go to the 6 first to separate here. Was kind of in between there. Blaine came over, bumped, and made him check late, and here draws the outside, and Ayala stays aboard.
Look, this is one of those plays where I just have to go back to the same horse, because if this horse beats me, I'm going to kick him myself. I'm,
yeah,
talking about the 3 Powwow. Yes, I know, you know, the listeners of the podcast can trace me back to Legally Hot. That's been like, that's been one of the ultimate chase horses for me,
yes,
throughout 2018. But Powwow there, I had picked him on top last time out. He broke a little bit awkward at the start, got bothered, and still finished an okay third there. So I'm just thinking, hopefully, second time out, this horse, excuse me, is going to be sharper here. And then I'll go to the 5, Legally Hot. Yes. Finally, this horse takes a drop in class. We'll see what he's she can do. But I think, she's raced 10 times. I want to say at least 3 times she's been the lock of the night. That's how bad I've been chasing this horse. So I'll go Legally Hot for second, and then 6 first to separate on top. I'm against Blaine. Let Blaine beat me.
You know, I don't mind that at all.
I don't like the rail for him. He tends to drift in and lug in. Chuck him out. I don't like Blaine. I'll let him beat me. I'll go 3-5-6.
Yeah, I really wanted to completely chuck out Blaine. I ended up putting it in the third spot, but that's how bad of a race it is. I hate Blaine, and I hate Legally Hot, and I've got the 5 here for second. I'm just going to go based off the class drop, finally getting in with some claimers,
yes,
here. Is a quick filly. You know, we know that her stamina is questionable, but, you know, maybe the class relief here will help her get out in the front and hold on. And then I went to the 1, Blaine, who was really quick early, was dropping out of the fraternity trials into the $20,000 ranks there, but, you know, just got a little goofy, lugged in, and bumped full late. But, you know, like I said, if you're one of those people that just plays horses right back from a maiden DQ right back into the maiden race, this one should be pretty good from along the rail.
No, thank you for me. No, thank you for me. He can beat me. I'm going to go to the 2 horses that have liked. And I'll go to the 3-5-6 here in race 3.
All right, 6-5-1 for me.
Race number 4 here. We're going 330 yards in this spot. And a field of 6. Yes, ladies and gentlemen.
Music to my ears.
Lock of the night for me in race number 4. We're in a good roll. Let's keep it going.
All right.
And I'm going to go to the 5. Hey, beautiful.
I agree with you.
First off, the claim for Valentin Zamudio. Ruben Lozano has been the go-to guy now for Valentin Zamudio. This horse should have won last time out. If you think about how much ground she had to make up in the final 100 yards or so. You know, the 2 Freight Train Blues absolutely flew out of the start in that race. Hey Beautiful was in catch-up mode, and she almost got there.
Yep.
You know, if it wasn't for that little bit of a sluggish start, she could have gotten the bob there. So goes from one good barn to another good barn. Back at the same distance, back against similar fields. Give me Hey Beautiful at 3-1 as the lock of the night.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. It's going to be first time off the claim there. Lozano, the main man for Zamudio now that Caesar's gone to his training duties. But that one should be tough. You know, he's finishing really well. I'm going to throw out Freight Train Blues completely, just off.
Ooh.
Stepping up from 8,000 to 12,500. With no trainer change, I think that's probably the ceiling there. And then I'm going to go to the 6, Royal Tricky Lady here for second. It's going to be dropping down from 16,000. You know, bumped twice at the start. You know, lost all chance. It finished second to Trumper, two back. We know how good he is now, and was actually making up some ground after lugging in. Went 15.55. They raised him up to 16,000, but he got bet that day. He only, you know, almost went off 3-1. Yes. So that tells me that they thought this horse was live. Just got bumped, drops back down. So that should be pretty good from the outside. Then I'm going to go to the one, a mine of our own, and I'm going to jump on board with one Olam on here.
You're a smart man to jump on early. You're a smart man to jump on early.
He's already doubled his win percentage
exactly,
from last year.
Exactly.
But I think the key is he's switched from Huerta to leading rider Jesus Ayala. It's going to be second time for him locally. It does draw along the rail again. But hopefully Ayala can just get this horse out of the gates, and that's the difference here for the one.
I'll go 5-2-6 here. I'm going to respect the gate speed of the two. And, you know, you talked about how good the six looked. Two starts back, finishing second, draws the outside and gets Vinny. So 5-2-6, hey beautiful, the lock of the night for me.
5-6-1 for me.
All right, before we move on, another conspiracy theory for me.
Go ahead. Right.
Look, I talked to you about how I thought Olam was going to be trending up this year. Mm-hmm. He's already trending up.
Yes.
But I don't think we had seen Ayala ride as much for him as much as he's ridden for him already this
exactly.
year. So here goes my conspiracy theory. You think Ayala and his agent, they're tapping into the barn, will ride anything because they know Olam has some very good prospects in the works.
I mean, a few years ago, I believe JGA Partnership was buying a lot of brood mares, and they're probably breeding to Apolitical Jess and Apolitical Blood, another one of their stallions. You think there's a lot of babies going to be coming into the pipeline here, and Ayala wants to get in nice and early before the train takes off?
Hey, that's my conspiracy theory for this connection right now.
I mean, does he just say goodbye to Paul?
No.
Okay.
But I think he wants
so he's not completely stupid, right?
I think he wants to be in that barn early on just so that he's like, I've been in the barn long enough. Throw me a few of those babies that you might have coming in.
Yeah. He'll have Paul, and then he'll have all the Legacy Ranch's babies.
Yes.
And I mean, they keep throwing off nice one after nice one here. So, and then if you get an Olam with Apolitical Jess, he's about as hot as a stallion can be. He could have a big 2019.
Hey, that's my conspiracy theory for that one. Because we had not seen him ride, like, claimers or, like, allowance horses for Olam in the year or so. This year, I think he's running maybe two or three winners for him already, and not counting the mounts that hasn't won with. So I'm thinking they're trying to get into that barn right now before the real baby starts showing up.
Well, watch this horse from on a Saturday night from along the rail. If y'all can get this thing out and going, I mean, that's a huge upgrade. I think that's a sign of things to come.
All right, race number 5, the first division of the Winter Derby Trials. This begins the late pick 4 as well here. By the way, no pizza on the line with horror trials?
No.
No?
Just fraternity trials.
All right. Just wanted to make sure here. Phillip 7 set the post here in the first trial of the night. 400 yards is the distance. Slight morning line choice is going to be the 4 Boss Time Machine, who looked sharp last time out.
Yep.
Are you buying it? Are you on the team Boss Time Machine right now?
I'm very close. But I went to the 2, just I got the 4 for second.
Okay.
You know, I know that he likes the distance. Let's see, who did he beat? Teller, he's famous. Yes. That was one that put us on the radar here for Boss Time Machine. He got bumped at the start, and he finished out really well. Night, I think he kind of beat the field a lot easier than it looked. But I'm going to go to the 2, just being me, for a horse that's going to try 400 for the second time here. Got bumped both sides at the start, you know, just draw a line through that. But before that, ran second to Coleman 47 in the PCQHRA fraternity.
Mm-hmm.
And we know he probably wants the distance, so I'm going to give him a second shot because he's 4-1. I think that's a lot better than 5-2 on Boss Time Machine.
17, we almost agree here on top because I have the 2 for second.
Okay.
But I gave the 4 the check mark here on top. I was impressed with the way he looked. He passed the eye test for me. I'm talking about the 4 Boss Time Machine. Paul Jones or Marwan Sanchez. He broke in, got bumped a little bit, but then really leveled out nicely and was under big, big strides. I just like how long his strides were there. I think he leveled out nicely. He might be starting to figure things out. He has not raced since the same date of the trials for Just Be and Me. So they're both coming off of similar layoffs. But I'll give the slight edge here to the 4. The 2 is going to be my second choice. For third, I'll go to the 6. Pretty fancy dude here for Mike Castleman and Jesus Ayala. Just consistent form. You can't ignore that.
Exactly.
Finished third in the PC Grace Rate Breeders Fraternity there. Just half a length behind Pretty Fancy Dude. It's just tough to ignore that he tends to be in the mix of things. So for me, I'll go 4-2-6 here in the first trial.
Yeah, same thing exactly. Just a little bit different order. I got 2-4-6. Do I think Pretty Fancy Dude is going to go out there and throw a huge effort? No, but the horse is solid. It is always right around there. Just kind of reminds me of One Sweet. Is it One Sweet Habit? The one for Paul Jones, the mare that always finishes second, is always right there.
I think so.
I think I'm pretty sure that's her name. But it kind of reminds me of that, in which always right there, but kind of lacks that winning habit, lacks the need of the late kick, but should be there in the trifecta.
All right, recap. I'll go 4-2-6.
2-4-6.
Yeah, we agree there. Race number 6, second trial of the night. Field of 8. Slight morning night choice is going to be Mr. 8 Political there, 2-1. For Legacy Ranch and Terry Knight from post number 2. The Bermuda Triangle post positions. Are you with or against Mr. A Political?
I'm on Mr. A Political. Uh-huh. So I think I'm slowly moving out of the Bermuda Triangle on the 2 hole. The inside's been pretty good lately, yes. Here at Los Al. So if that trend continues over to this week, I think he should be fine and drawn next to Coleman 47. I don't think that I should get into too much trouble down there. You know, he's been facing the best of the best, while Coleman 47's kind of been racing against a slightly easier company, but I just can't ignore that Mr. A Political put up that 1979 there in the Fraternity Trial for the $2 million, two starts back. It was a losing effort there to transcend, but I think it's not going to be a huge upset here over Coleman 47, but I'm going to throw him on top.
I just think this is as three-horse race as it looks on paper. I think it's between the 1, 2, and 7. It's just a matter of rankings that you really got to kind of juggle it a bit. I ended up giving the check mark to the 7 terrific first down just because I was so high on this horse after that runaway Braden Macon win, and then followed it up with their troubled 7th, 3rd behind Mr. Apolitical, 3rd behind He's a Blues Man. I just think she hasn't gotten the best of trips yet. She's now a 3-year-old. I think she's probably maturing a little bit better as a 3-year-old. So I'm going to give her the shot here at 7-2. So I'll go 7-1-2 here. Not much to add for the other ones. You know who they are. They're good. They're solid. I just think the race is between those three runners.
Exactly. I got 2-1-7. Coleman 47. Hopefully another year this horse has matured and will kind of get out of his goofy ways that he can show from time to time there. And then terrific first down, although ran lights out at shorter distances. I'm just kind of questioning at 400 yards, you know, maybe that 1987 is like the plateau for that horse, and you're going to need to run a much faster time as a 3-year-old to get the W's. But, you know, another year could mature into something good. We know FDD Dynasty and Terrific Energy, they get better as they mature. So hopefully the filly can take another step forward.
Yeah, that's my only play with third first down that I think the mature angle could trend upward. So 7-1-2 for me.
2-1-7.
All right, there's two races left. You know what time it is?
The late daily double.
Yes, late daily double time here in race number 7. And
there we go. Set it off. I'm gonna go with the lock here in the 7th race, all the way to the outside. I'm gonna go with another Chris O'Dell runner. I'm gonna go Favorite Wise Lady.
Going for four in a row right here.
Come on, Cody. I need a month worth of locks here.
Hey, you know what? You just doubted Cody on the Champion Jockey Honors.
Well,
this might come to bite you right now.
That's what I wanted to preface when we got into that discussion. I love Bodacious Eagle.
Yes.
I love Cody Jensen. I'm not knocking them. They're world-class horses. I just thought that they were slightly below who I thought should have won the titles that year.
Please. I'm not feeling good about this right now.
After this, he's going to come through. I just know it. You know, Favorite Wise Lady has showed a lot of talent ever since the beginning. Last time out, just ran, lost by half a length there after lugging out early. Lost by Corona, so nothing to be too discouraged there. again, I like the outside. I like that the one KR High Five, even though this horse has won from the inside, I like that it's drawn down there along the inside and has been facing a little bit weaker. And at 8-5, I think I'm going to go with a horse that has been facing, I think, a little bit more open company, like powerful favorite, Parsons Rock Coleman, 47. You Caught My Eye, who's just to the inside. And hopefully a little class edge will get me to the winner's circle.
Ooh. Well, I don't have her on top.
Okay.
I went to the one, KR High Five, but we do agree that this is a duel.
Okay.
It appears to be like a duel to the wire. I just, you know, two starts from the rail from KR High Five, two wins, hard to ignore that. And he looked sharp last time out, was under a hen right there in the last 100 yards or so, was just floating over the ground there in the juvenile challenge. So I'm picking the one on top. I'm picking the 8 for second. But I can't believe you gave up on the 4, pull the trigger.
I didn't completely give up.
That was a tough beat, two starts back. It was.
One of the toughest beats of my life. That was ridiculous.
When he made
we've already talked about it. That's the one I needed for the consensus over the professor.
Would have
given me the walk-off try, blown everybody. Yeah.
You would hit the pick 4 for like 1,500.
Anyway, go on.
But when he made the lead, you were like, it's over.
Oh, it's over?
It's over.
I mean, we were just wanting this horse to get out. I thought this horse could go 870 yards. I thought the horse was never going to get caught.
But anyways, I'll go 814 here. I'm not giving up on pull the trigger. I think he's still a very good horse.
Yeah, I like the 8, I like the 1, and then, yeah, required by law, I got to go with the 4, pull the trigger, because if this horse wins and I don't have it in my top 3, everybody's going to be flaming me on Twitter.
All right, Race and Race, the final trial of the night here. Field of 7 set to post. We got the most, the strongest morning line favorite in all the 4 trials.
Yeah.
We're talking about powerful favorite who looked like a new horse when the Flipping Halter was added 2 starts back.
Bingo.
Last time out, kind of broke slow, got bumped, stumbled at the start, never really unleashed a run. Still, it was a better than look 6 there. Almost got up for 4th there with a little bit better trip. So considering the trouble, that was a huge effort there from powerful favorite. But if he gets out, everyone else is running for 2nd.
Yeah, when he added the Flipping Halter and he went 1965, I don't think anybody in this field can touch that. I looked at the 4, the other favorite. I'm going to go with the runaway favorite for 2nd here. You know, showed a little bit better effort 2nd time out, but even without breaking through the gate, made up a little bit of ground to Bo's Time Machine, who we previously talked about, but the time wasn't that much better. It, you know, went from 21:10, didn't even break 20 seconds, even though I thought, you know, coming from New Mexico, I thought the horse was a monster. But I still think that in this field, the other ones aren't too tough. I think Red Hot Cartel can somehow, you know, not get away from the gate and is a little bit of a teaser for me. And then I went to the 6, Anna's Image, who coming off the Governor's Cup Futurity, you know, got a 6-month layoff, came back and absolutely crushed in the allowance field there, which included the 2-horse delayed steal. So looks primed and ready, cruises on it again. So I think should run a big effort, but maybe I question that horse at 400 yards. So
Anna's Image is going to be my 3rd choice. You know, my top choice is the 3 powerful favorite. But my 2nd choice, it's not the 4.
No?
It's not the 5. The 2.
Delayed steal.
Yes, he's the long shot of the night. The long shot of the night. Look, this is my whole thought process here.
Go ahead.
He's drawn right next to the big favorite.
Gotcha.
If powerful favorite makes any kind of mistakes, we know Delayed Steal can break on top.
Yep.
He likes to show gate speed out of the gate. So my only thing for him, the only way he can upset this field is if he gets a jump out of the gate on the 3, and the 3 makes any kind of mistakes like he has been doing for a lot of his career.
Very true.
So that is my only long shot case for the 2, and that's why I picked him for 2nd. So I'll go 3-2-6 here and race him rank.
I had just been on the 2 so many times. I told you, I got off last time. You got on, and he did run a 2nd. I did get scared. I thought, okay, maybe I was all the weight on this horse's back, but I got to go against him. I'm going to go 3-4-6.
All right, those are the 4 Derby trials for Saturday night. We're going to flip the page and take a quick look there at Sunday's program, because we got 2 trials. Yes, 2 trials to the Grade 1 Brad McKenzie Winter Championship. The winner of this event gets the first berth to the Champion of Champions here on the year. We saw BH Lisa's Boy did that last year. Did he do it 2 years in a row?
This will be his third winter championship. Yeah, third if he can take champion, it home. Yeah. It'll be his third one in a row.
Yeah, so he stamped his birth early in the year.
Yep.
In January there, and coasted home the rest of the year. It's always nice when you got your plans accomplished early in the year.
Yep, you can get everything worked out, and then you can take a little break, get your horse well rested, and then come back maybe like go man go time, and then have him ready to go for the championship.
All right, so two trials on Sunday, but we got very good horses assembled for the two trials.
Yep.
So we should get a pretty good final if they all run the race. Trial number one is going to be race number 7. We got a field of 9 horses here going to post, and the one that stands out on the page immediately, of course, just a cartel. They're finished 2nd in the Champion of Champions behind Voracious Eagle, the eventual world champion. How about Tarzanito? Just crowned champion, what, Older Stallion?
Yep.
And the Champions Banquet at AQHA. He's entered here. They actually supplemented this horse. He was supposed to run on Friday. But what'd you think here in this first trial?
You know, as much as I think Just a Cartel is the horse to watch this year,
yep,
I think Tarzanito is running so good right now, and with an outside post, should run a huge one here. If Just a Cartel doesn't get away as quickly as he can, you know, last time he got bumped, he rallied, and he only lost by a head there to Bodacious Eagle, but I didn't think looked as sharp as he had in the past, and I think Tarzanito is at the top of his game right now, so I'm going to throw him on top here.
Really?
Yes.
Wow. You're going to Tarzanito on the outside on top.
Yep.
Tarzanito is my third choice. Just a Cartel is going to be my top choice there. He ended the year on a good note. Well, not on the best note that they wanted, but still, it was still a very good second there, despite not getting out all that great. But my long shot is going to be the one, Jess Redmond. We talked about it.
Yep.
It was a giant effort to start back. She was flat there in the Champion of Champions. I liked her that night, but she was a bit flat. I'm hoping she can get back into top form, and if she gets out cleaning from the rail, I think she could be a legit contender at 10-1. So give me 5-1-9 here in the first trial.
Yeah, I'm going against Just Raven because of my following the jockey. I'm going with Ayala to the 4, zooming for Spuds. I'm going to go 9-5-4, zooming for Spuds. Ran a monster race there in the Champion of Champions. You know, he only lost by a neck for the whole thing. He ran 4th, and before that, looked ultra sharp in the Z-Wing Griffin trial. Just absolutely crushed the field that included LD is back in that heat. I think he's probably just at the top of his game again. I see nothing but a big effort from Zooming early on.
That's gonna be a very interesting trial there, given that Tarzanito draws the outside. All right, second and final trial of the night, 400 yards of the distance. We got a field of 9, and boy, look who drew the outside post.
Just what he wanted.
Just what he wanted there. He won the Los Alamitos Invitational Championship here from post number 10 on the outside. He gets post number 9. Is it He Looks Hot? Your pick.
I'm going against him, even though he got the outside.
All right.
I'm going BH Lease's boy. He was absolutely flying late in the Champion of Champions. I know we're shortening up 40 yards here, but he's always right there in the mix. You know, Cesar Franco, I believe, was this when he was supposed to ride him before?
I think so.
And there's a little bit of a mix-up, and then so Salvo Ramirez got on. But I know Caesar at least has been on this horse before in the morning, and so he's going to ride him back here because Caesar, again, has gone on to become a trainer. I just don't see anything from BH Lease's boy slowing down. You know, nope. 7 years old now, and he's still at the top of his game. I mean, he closed like a freight train last time, you know, made up a length and a half after breaking a bit slow, and was running down the world champion, Bodacious Eagle, there late. So I think it'll be pretty tough here in the 8th.
I'll go 9-2-1. So I'm going to pick He Looks Hot on the outside. It's just because of the outside post. But, you know, kudos to Scott Willoughby and his team for still having this horse at the top of his game as a 7-year-old as well. He won the grade one there last year in October. He finished 6th there in the Champion of Champions. I think the outside there is definitely going to benefit him. But BH Lease's boy, you can't ignore the fact of how well he was finishing there in the Champion of Champions. He just missed by a neck when all things were said and done, and that was a very, very good effort. Then I'll go to the one, Kenny's Easy Moves there, who we all thought was going to win that first down dash by a comfortable margin.
Yes.
She had to work for it.
Yeah.
Boy, she was all out there to win by a neck, but hey, she has shown flashes of talent, and whenever she can get on her A game, she belongs in this kind of group. So he belongs in this kind of group. The Katie's always throws me off.
Exactly. That name always throws me off. All right. I get them mixed up. If anyone wants to say anything, I don't care whether it's a her or a him. I just go with the handicapping.
9-2-1 for me here in the second trial.
Yeah, just a little bit different order. I like the 2, BH Lisa's boy on top. Then I'm going to go to the 1 for second because the inside has been good. And KD's easy moves has proven that he can run with all these top ones that, you know, 4 back, broke slow, and I think was out finishing BH Lisa's boy there in the end. So I don't think BH Lisa's boy is going to be flying by KD's easy moves, but should be closing late on him. And then I went to the 9. He looks hot just off the last effort. Was a little bit dull. I mean, only lost by 3/4 in the Champion of Champions, but I mean, it was along the rail. I know he likes it down there, but just didn't fire. So I'm hoping that he fires just a little bit of a subpar effort, and we can get the 2 BH Lisa's boy going strong into the final.
All right, Sky, that's the trials here for this weekend. Looking forward to the finals on both of those events. We talked champions. We talked our streaks of locks.
Mm-hmm.
Now, my question to you is, who do you want to now keep on the Lakers? The Lakers beat the Thunder yesterday. And was it overtime?
I didn't even watch it.
I think they go overtime, right?
It was the first game I haven't watched in a while. Yeah,
they did.
I believe it was, but I've always said I think Ingram is going to be the one that gets traded. I don't think he's the big fit. I agree with you about Zubac.
Oh yeah,
he's my boy. Yeah, he needs more playing time.
Yeah, he leave him there. Don't touch him.
Yep, I think Kuzma's fine. I think Hart or Caldwell Pope. I think they're also the ones to go. Their three-point shooting is just not that good. I don't know why they jack up so many three-pointers, so I could see one of those guys being in there, and then we bring in another superstar, hopefully Anthony Davis, maybe Kawhi, and we'll be all good.
You know who doesn't want to get traded for sure?
Who?
It's Kuzma.
Yesterday, he's not going anywhere.
In the post-game interview,
yeah,
he kept saying, oh, I'm young, I'm still developing.
Yeah.
I'm young, I'm still developing. Yeah. He kept saying that in the TNT broadcast.
Yeah.
And I'm like, this guy's smart. He's just trying to convey that, you know, the ownership that's watching right now, I feel like it still get better. That's quote-unquote, that is what he was trying to say.
He doesn't want any GMs to let go of a blue-chip stock or too early.
But we do agree that now the stock of Brandon Ingram is low.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm pretty sure there was a lot of trades that were on the table that the Lakers said no because Brandon Ingram was in there. A lot of teams wanted him.
Yeah.
Now that trade value is gone.
Yeah, I don't think he's got as much value out there in the market as he did early on when they were very guarded on him. You know, mm-hmm. I think a lot of people, when they were going around the trade block and they're trying to say who was off limits, you know, that was one of them. But, you know, now I think they've shown that nobody's really stepping up in this period where LeBron is away. I think that's the key takeaway from all this. They just look lost out there, so I think they definitely need another superstar that can come in and take them to the next level.
So, looking forward to tonight. Tonight, we're recording on Friday night. Friday night, Boogie Cousins returns for the first game back. Guess against who?
The Clippers.
The Clippers. So, poor Clippers about to get destroyed tonight.
Oh, before we end, I had a bone to pick with you.
What's up?
You made an announcement that you and your wife are expecting.
Yes.
You're supposed to tease it on Twitter and say you have to come to the podcast to find out what my big announcement.
That is true.
That's marketing 101.
That would have been a huge show, right? That would have been a big spike.
Yes, that would have been the number one show that we ever had.
Yes, so breaking news coming. Wait, hold on. Let me do it right. Breaking news coming to the podcast. World premiere.
I mean, congratulations.
Thank
How are you,
you
feeling?
Thank you. Thank you.
Are you nervous again?
It's getting there. It's getting there. We just found out. Well, we've been knowing. We got officially the latest ultrasound told us that we're having a baby girl.
Okay.
So Jackie's getting a little baby sister.
How does she feel about it? She's very excited as well.
Yes. I'm not sure 100% she knows what's going on.
Yeah.
But she acts like she does. So we'll give her that.
Yeah.
She's... we're having a baby girl due in June. She's going to be a midsummer baby, a early summer baby. All things are looking good right now, normal.
Yeah.
That's always good. And I think this time around, I'm a little bit more nervous than the wife is.
Really?
Yeah. I think the wife is already, all right, I went through this already. Now I'm like, I'm getting a little more nervous this time.
So what is your plan? Is your plan to cut back a little bit of gambling to save or go more gambling? That way you can win more money for the college fund.
Push.
There we go. That's what we like to hear.
All or nothing. All or nothing, baby. No, but yeah, it's fun times in the household. The bankroll manager is getting cravings. Morning sickness is done, officially done.
Okay.
So that's good. But yeah, you can, definitely the pregnancies are different. Like with Jackie, with our first one, she had a lot, like the morning sickness, like being nauseous, was more severe.
Okay.
But it lasted shorter. This one, it wasn't as severe, but it lasted a little bit longer.
Mm.
But the cravings have not been all that crazy.
What's her go-to when she has a craving?
Look.
Is it like just a pint of ice cream?
No, with Jackie, she really couldn't keep anything really down as far as food goes. Her taste buds were like, whatever.
Yeah.
But the only thing she really like, we became like In-N-Out regulars. In-N-Out was our go-to spot.
Really?
Yeah, during her pregnancy with Jackie, our first one, we were In-N-Out at least once a week.
Really?
At least. I'm saying at least it was more like two times a week.
Just double-doubles, animal style,
animal
with a shake.
Yeah, she gets animal style, she gets a cheeseburger, and animal style fries. This time around, it's all over the place. There's not one thing, but things are going good. So
yeah.
Hopefully, June, come June.
Okay.
If I run off the set while I'm on the quarters, mm-hmm. You know where I ran off to.
Completely understandable. I'm sure Scotty can just go about and handle the rest of the quarters just fine. But yeah, congratulations.
Thank you.
But next time, you got to draw listeners in. Next time, think proactively.
I know. Let me go back to that tweet. How what kind of traction did we get in that tweet? We got like over 200 likes, I think, last time I checked.
Oh, my God. That's huge.
Thanks for the followers there that are supported there of the Los Ponies family. We posted a picture of Jackie holding the little
horse. Exactly. Yep.
So,
Was that a little bit of self? Like, the first thing I thought about was the podcast when I saw that.
No, good marketing right there. Good marketing. See, that's why I asked you to be the co-host of this show. Marketing gets
just,
you places.
Just trying to think outside the box.
Yes. So that's the show for this week. Special shout out to Jason Beam and the Beamy Awards, which are going on right now.
Oh, my God. So let me grab the popcorn.
Yeah, go get the changes, get the popcorn, and I'll put the tie on to get ready for the quarter. Before we do that, we'll catch up with the Beamy Awards.
All right, everybody. We'll see you later.
See you guys next week.
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.